Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, and as always, we are excited to have you guys with us this week. We got some fun topics. We're going to talk a little ice fishing. We're also going to talk about first confirmed wolf kill in Colorado.
Oh, really?
In a livestock scenario. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And this one's surprising me. They're going to expand walleye fishing in a certain area of Michigan because the walleye are eating too much perch. That's right. Stay tuned for that one and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Well, it's happened.
It's the new year.
It's 2022. That's whenever you sign anything, you got to remember. It's 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. You want that's pretty common
screw
fault
up. Mm-hmm.
Is putting the wrong year down. You're writing a check or signing some document or something of that nature. You got to get the right...
Right info. I think I might actually go make some turns later on today down the hill in like minus whatever degree temperature it is.
It's cold here.
I'm
going to
make
Minnesota.
My own wind chill.
You have fun.
Speaking of having fun and out in the cold, figured I'd bring up a couple tips I thought were pretty good for ice fishing. I thought they're unique. Couple of them, which you're going to say, wonder why I didn't think of that. Vertical to horizontal with your ice fishing. The style of one ice jig is just as important as the color. Most anglers are accustomed to a teardrop-shaped jig that hangs vertically in the water, such as any one of those standard teardrop jigs you'll find anywhere in the sporting goods aisle. When the fish stop biting the vertical jig, switch to a jig that goes horizontally, like a jigging wrap, small size, same concept, and it swings and will sail at various angles. So it totally changes the look. And the presentation, exactly. Now, this next one I thought was amazing. I'd never thought of it. And in fact, I only think of this as being a detriment, and it has to do with line twist. As soon as I hear line twist, I'm like, that's not a good thing. Most anglers only move their jig in an up and down jigging motion. Fish become obviously accustomed to that presentation and will stop reacting to that scenario. For a change of pace, try holding the line between your index finger and thumb and roll or twist the line between your fingers. It causes the jig to spin in the water while remaining at the same depth. And then try moving a jig around the perimeter of the hole without imparting any up-down motion on the jig. They respond especially well to that technique in shallow water.
Roll the line between your fingers.
Yeah, so it spins the jig, and then you can work it around the perimeter of the...
Got it.
Yeah. Bait to plastic, live bait, give it a break, and try to work with some finesse plastic lures. Bluegills and other panfish eventually tire of live bait when it happens. Usually switch to a tiny 1/80th ounce round head jig, which is literally not even hardly a jig, and just a
sliver
of plastic.
I've never seen a 1/80th.
And finesse plastic tail, tiny jig quivers. It's basically just not even hardly anything there.
How's it go down?
So, with another weight, usually put another weight. Like it's almost a fly.
Yeah.
So, bouncing in the bottom, add a certain element to it. Instead of holding it suspended, bounce it off the bottom, making the poof on the bottom if it's a softer type silty bottom.
Sure.
And usually, a prime example for me in freshwater or open water, you drop the jig, you pop, lift it. And normal people jig and they lift up 2 feet. A lot of times I'll drop it, pull it up and hold it, maybe like 3-4 inches off the bottom, just hold it. And depending on the bite, they'll react to that stop because the bait's like a dying bait or a dying minnow. So that works pretty good as well. Looking down the hole for a stiff neck and a few more fish, try staring down the hole and watching fish as they take the bait if you don't have a camera. It's excellent for learning how fish respond to various baits and jigging techniques. So kind of a concept. It's always fun watching them, as long as you can see.
If you're in shallow enough water, yep.
Yep. Changing sizes, obviously that's a big thing. Go from a size 10 teardrop jig to a size 6, or go to an ultra-small size 12. That's always a good method as well. And put the rod down when fishing with a spring bobber, like some of the new panfish popper rods, a simple way to catch a couple extra fish. Set the rod down and allow the fish, the bait, to sit totally motionless. And we found that, too, was an effective method when we were jigging. All we did, we were trying to figure out what was going on with the bite. One day it was great, next day not very good. And we just cast out the bait, and it wasn't really paying it much attention. It was dragging on the sand bottom, and all of a sudden I got a fish. And I thought, well, what in the world? They just wanted to have a flat, nothing drag presentation. So don't be afraid not to do anything. That's definitely something to look at.
I actually use that method quite often, long lining.
Mm-hmm. You can do it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, it just depends on your speed, the and the line angle, what kind of jig you're doing. And other thing to keep in mind is not using ultralight monofilament for deeper water. Use a braid is one of the big things that you can do is an ultralight braid. And then you can also look at putting on a fluorocarbon leader.
Sure.
And you're going to be able to get, if it's longer distances out, you're going to be able to get that feel, and you're going to still have the line cutting or water cutting capability with that braid to give you a hand with that. So that works for sure. It's one of those things.
Lots of techniques.
Yeah, and it's so different with that because for me, it just takes me a long time to cut that hole of the ice from the launch ramp and drive the boat. It takes a long time to get that open hole all the way out to the middle of the lake.
Yeah, it's trolling's always been a problem for
me. Well, and I just go one way, and then I have to go back.
Right.
So you want one way you're going forward, and then the other one you're back trolling. So you cover the whole deal. You get out to the center, you just simply back up and go back to the ramp. And
I had a guy offer to chainsaw me a slot in the ice once. If I wanted to go along, I go, nah, it's okay.
It's a sad joke, but I got to tell you. It's like some of those guys that jig out that cut that big circle in the ice. You put an outboard motor on it and you control.
I'd be afraid that thing would tip.
No.
No, I know. I've seen them, but it's...
It would be entertaining, though. Put a crankbait on about 3 different holes out there and just spin the crankbaits around the...
Yeah, just for a video.
It would probably work. I don't know. What do I know?
Right.
Apparently not much, because I brought up the idea. All right. Well, speaking of more lame-brained ideas, we're going to be back with a bunch more. Stay tuned.